I mean, we're talking about a duopoly where there are no redeeming qualities. There are no leaders. There are no politicians that we should be saying, oh, yes, let's support them over X, right? That's not what I'm arguing here. But what I'm arguing is that it's quite strange, right, for anybody. I don't care who you are. But especially those on the left to hedge our bets on someone like Ron DeSantis. Because I get it. I see it. I see the kind of scam here that Ron DeSantis is some kind of alternative figure, right? That he speaks out against lockdowns and vaccines or whatever is COVID, right? Florida has been open, I think, this whole time. I was there for a week visiting a friend, and I can tell you it was wide open, and that was not late in the pandemic, right? So he's been a champion of, right, just no COVID measures whatsoever. And so I get it that it has an alternative figure to it because there's all this debate about COVID restrictions. But what I don't get is not understanding the character of Ron DeSantis himself, his class character. And it's not hard to see who Ron DeSantis really is when you see who backs him. So Ron DeSantis is a billionaire-backed, corporate-owned politician. He is a wholly owned political subsidiary of Capital. So let's look at this story here. Ron DeSantis has 42 billionaire donors, and here are the most notable. All right, this is in USA Today's Tallahassee Democrat. So it says Florida analysis found dozens of billionaires and billionaire family members with a net worth of $275 billion donating to DeSantis's reelection effort. A level of billionaire support, one expert called extraordinary. So he goes above and beyond, sure, but above and beyond for the ruling class. So even that kind of comments in this mainstream periodical should tell the tale. So let's look at by the numbers, right? So here are some extra links, but here are some of the notable billionaires. So you have Ken Griffin, who has a net worth of $26 billion. He is a contributor of $5 million to DeSantis's reelection effort for governor. And he's a CEO of Citadel, which is a Chicago hedge fund and highly active in conservative politics. All right. So you have Julia Koch. She is the widow of the late, or Koch. Okay. Julia Koch. She is the widow of David Koch, the famous, famous for supporting conservative causes and is the wealthiest DeSantis donor. According to Forbes, Koch and her family are worth $62.2 million. The Kansas resident inherited a 42% stake in Koch Industries with her three children. So he's a Koch-funded politician. He's a Koch-funded. He is no different. He is just GOP, right? This isn't some kind of Trump 2.0. And then we found out that Trump was actually supported by mega capitalist forces, as well as all GOP politicians are. They did eventually pour their money into him, even if there was a huge exodus of mainstream national security state Republicans from the Republican Party. You have Fancelli, Julie Jenkins Fancelli, who is one of seven children of Publix founder George Jenkins. Forbes says the Jenkins family was worth $8.8 billion in 2020, who has homes in Italy, Lakeland, Longboat Key, and she was a key donor to the rally organized on January 6, 2021. So that's who supports this guy. So you have real estate holding Edward Bartolo, D. Bartolo Jr. He has owned the NFL's San Francisco 49ers, but now his sister has taken control of the team. After D. Bartolo pled guilty to being asked for a bribe by the former governor of Louisiana over a riverboat gambling license and failing to report it. So he was pardoned by Trump. So the DeVos family, oh great. The DeVos family donated to DeSantis, including Donald Trump's education secretary, Betsy DeVos. They are related to Amway co-founder Richard DeVos, who was worth an estimated $5.4 billion in 2018 when he dies. They currently own the Orlando Magic. So, I mean, there you go. So, you know, DeSantis is a free marketeer. He's someone who decries any kind of government regulation. He's anti-social welfare, right? Anti-state, anti-government, at least when it comes to when government is supposed to serve the people. But he's very pro-government. So he's had this identity of, well, against the government measures around COVID. But let me show you what he is pro-government over. So don't get it twisted, guys. He is not anti-government, all right? And this is something that some have brought up. And so I wanted to share with you what DeSantis has recently done, which indicates that he is very pro-government when it comes to protesting. Governor DeSantis signs a law making picketing, protesting outside of a person's home illegal. In a statement, the Florida governor said unruly mobs in front of homes of Supreme Court justices is inappropriate. So this is a guy who signed into law HB 1571 to make protesting outside of a person's home illegal, starting with a warning and then an arrest if the person does not peaceably disperse. The offense will be classified as a second degree misdemeanor. It comes shortly after the Roe v. Wade ruling. So this is someone, Mr. DeSantis, and I'm not even going to keep this up.
A teenage girl.
Mr. DeSantis is all about outlawing protest when it's around issues he opposes, right? I think he took the same line around the Black Lives Matter anti-police brutality protests. So that seems very heavy-handed government to me, because I thought the right to protest was protected under freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, right? As long as you're not committing a crime while protesting, right? I thought that that was protected. But this guy literally criminalized protesting. So if we're on the left, we have to be really careful here. We have to be really, really careful, okay? This guy is not worth supporting. Look, the Democratic Party is abhorrent. There's nothing better on that side of the aisle either. But to think that a Koch brothers, a Koch family, hedge fund backed politician like DeSantis is the solution, I think would demonstrate a failure to be nice about it, a failure of imagination. Because if we are truly anti-duopoly, then we can't support someone like this. I don't care if he's for liberty and freedom and if he agrees with some position. I mean, I haven't seen a position that I agree with them on, right? I don't believe that we should just be not doing anything about COVID. Do I believe that the government handles this correctly? No, I don't agree to think that the U.S. government is correctly handling the pandemic. Do I believe we should have no restrictions around COVID? No, I don't think that that's right either. I think we have to have a public health system that manages public health emergencies like pandemics. I don't think that should be controversial. But people like DeSantis, what they do is they ride on the backs of people's discontent and exploit them for political gain, just like all bourgeois ruling class politicians of the United States' ruling class. That's what they do. They're there to try to exploit people, just like celebrities exploit people's need for some kind of escape, for some kind of, you know, some kind of gratification. These politicians are out here not to serve us, not to do what we want them to do, not to do what we need them to do, but to exploit us politically so that those who exploit us economically are able to maintain their power. That's what Ron DeSantis is doing in his own way. And that's what Joe Biden does as U.S. president. So we need to have that analysis. That's the full analysis, okay? The full analysis is that these capitalist politicians serve capitalists, and the U.S. is in such a crisis that they're willing to go over, that they're willing to entertain the prospect of these far-right politicians as some kind of amelioration of the crisis. That's why you have all these billionaires supporting them. They're looking to cash in, right? And cash in ways that possibly Biden can't provide for them. But Joe Biden has been a boon for the capitalist class. This inflation crisis is literally employers, Wall Street, literally the ruling class, the economic elites, raising the prices to run away with your money and your wealth as we deal with a nexus of crises from the Ukraine situation to mass shootings to the fact that this pandemic is with us and is probably permanently with us, even if it's not at a pandemic level, but the fact that this pandemic is still a pandemic level and it's not going away and there's a lot of discontent about it. These capitalists are taking advantage of all of that, right? Because they facilitated a crisis in, all the way back in 2019 without anybody knowing it. And then in 2020, we learned during the pandemic that, well, there was an economic crisis and you saw this massive upward transfer of wealth and massive unemployment because of the pandemic restrictions. And that hasn't really let up in terms of people's livelihoods. People are struggling hard. It'll be really interesting to see the poverty numbers, all of that, all these indicators as we move forward. But the point is that DeSantis, Biden, Gavin Newsom, I'd even get into Gavin Newsom because that guy is so abhorrent. I don't even want to cover him, but maybe one day, another episode. But the point is that DeSantis here is the focus and DeSantis here is not the solution. So we shouldn't treat him like one. And we have to have, I think, a more nuanced analysis. He is not, you know, just like Trump wasn't for us. Trump was just the outcome, a byproduct of a crisis of legitimacy. Donald Trump didn't serve working people. He certainly didn't serve even the foreign policy interests that we may have had in some of his campaign sloganeering, right? He was anti-worker and he was pro-war in a lot of ways. Relations with Russia actually got worse under his administration, and we can debate about, well, was that Trump or was that the neocon, neoliberal establishment? Well, I think it was a combination of both. Of course, there was heavy-handed pressure, but really, if Donald Trump is running as president, and we don't trust presidents on the left, usually presidential candidates, to keep their promises within a system that is predicated on an endless war and austerity, then should we have trusted Donald Trump either? Probably not. So we have to get ourselves out of this duopoly scam. It is a scam. It is not for us. It is not for the ordinary people. It's not for the oppressed people. It's not for working class people. We are the only ones who will save us. We're the only ones who will liberate this United States of America, right, as it is called, from this seemingly a worsening crisis and ever more violent and exploitative system of capitalism and imperialism that we live under. That's who will do it. Our efforts, our organizing, and our movement to create a transition, to create a transitional moment, a confrontation, and a revolutionary moment so that we can have a socialist government. That is what we need. A government that meets the needs of the people, does not serve for-profit entities, does not serve the interests of profit. We need a government that serves the needs of the people, and we need to be the ones governing it. That's it.